Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Haphagger.
Good morning.
And we kick off our 9 o'clock hour every Thursday with our great friend, Madison Rafter, Executive Director at Southwood County Humane Society, with our Pet of the Week. Madison, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing okay.
Good. You're busy.
I'm busy.
Yeah. I've always been appreciative of Madison, you know, taking the time to stop in studio here, be with us. It hits home a little bit better, I think, some of the stuff that we go over when it's in person. I didn't realize it's your break. It's your one chance to, like, get away from everything.
It kind of is. It's still work where I'm here and I get to talk about it because I'm excited about it, but it's my break.
And you guys really have been hard at work the last week or so and everything. I had a hoarding situation happen, and if you don't mind, I want to talk about that subject with you a little bit. Not so much just hoarding, but this time of year, the abandonment of animals and why people abandon animals and what we can do to kind of prevent that as a community, as individuals.
Yeah. So a lot of the things that we're starting to see with the shelter, it's been going on for years, but we're starting to see a lot more of it now with inflation and people just not being able to afford to take care of their animals and just different things along those lines. And what we're seeing more is people are tending to dump their animals or abandon their animals. There's a lot more neglect cases, things like that, because they don't necessarily want to reach out for help because it's a guilty feeling or they don't want to face that situation. They're afraid to pay a surrender fee because they can't afford it, different things like that. And when situations like that pop up, we'd rather people reach out to us to have those conversations. I can't tell you how many surrender fees I've waived. It's one of those things that if you come in and talk to me and have a civil conversation like, hey, I've got this going on, I really cannot afford this, and this is where this is getting, I have no problem talking and working out something. Mm-hmm. We can waive surrender fees. We can work with you. We want to be able to here to support you. When animals are just getting thrown outside or dumped or things like that, it's kind of out of everybody's control at that point. We see so many more hit by cars. We see so many more that those animals just get lost and never get brought in, or it's a game of trying to catch them for a week and a half.
Yeah.
Same situation last week. We had to go get a life trap from Portage County to catch a dog that's been seen for 4 days that was out in the negative degree temperatures.
Oh boy.
So it's one of those situations where we understand that there's a lot of guilt around those situations, and we don't want to hold judgment towards people because, trust me, I've had to surrender animals. It's not an easy situation. Mm-hmm. I had to surrender a guinea pig that I had for a year because the Timothy hay was making my throat swell up.
Oh.
So it's not an easy situation to have to go through those experiences, and we understand that, and we want to hold no judgment with those. We want to have an open door policy to come talk to us about situations. If it's a situation where you need food or you need something that we can help try to keep you in your home with your pet, mm-hmm. we have no problem providing resources for things like that. But just dumping an animal, sadly, is one of those things where we'd prefer you to come have a conversation with us because mm-hmm. we don't want that animal to get hurt. And that's the biggest part of it. And I understand it's not the easiest thing to have those conversations, but we want to be open and transparent with everybody.
When my parents, some years back, lost their black lab Zeppelin, they were never going to get another dog. And they got they worked with the Humane Society a little bit in Beth over there. Mm-hmm. And they Beth had come across this dog that she thought would be perfect for my mom and dad, and she reached out to me, and I reached out to my dad, and my dad and mom were kind of like, no, they're not going to take a look at him. But my dad and I, just because it was so nice of Beth, were like, well, we'll go take a look at him. Just, you know, it was nice of her to do that. We should at least go take a look at him. We were not even into the building when we saw Sammy, and we just fell over. We're like, that's our dog. That's our guy. He's sitting there. His hair is so out of range. It's so unkept and all over, and he had such a sad look on his face, and it was the stereotypical thing of Sam had been literally left on the side of the road a couple of blocks away from the Humane Society. They found him right just because a car had just barely missed him. Just barely missed him. He's a little guy. He's even littler back then. He's been with us for, I think, 6 or 7 years.
That's awesome.
He's the greatest dog I've ever known. He's my favorite dog I've ever been around. I love him. He's my brother. He's a family member of ours. And now... if somebody had dropped him off at the shelter mm-hmm. and just taken that extra step, gone in a couple of extra minutes, it could have been such a different scenario. It could have been better for him and everything. We're very fortunate that the situation went the way that it went.
Oh, yeah.
It 9 times out of 10 doesn't always go that way. But if you do that, you're looking out for another family. You're helping out not only this animal in its future, but possibly another family that are going to be able to give that dog and that, or that animal a home.
Yeah.
I also will throw out there, keeping an eye out for especially cats this time of year.
Yeah.
I just seem to see a lot of cats. Mm-hmm. I see dogs here and there, but I see a lot of cats without a home out there. Keeping an eye out for them as well. And it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of things in life that you got to swallow your pride or you got to take a little shame for. You don't have to feel that. You're not feeling it alone. As Madison, we've been here before. Many of us have been in this situation before. It's about the animal, not you. You put the animal first. And the funny thing about that, you're going to feel better from it, from doing that.
Yep, because you're setting that animal up for success. Yeah. When you're open and honest about behaviors that are being presented, if it's a situation where you just cannot financially afford it or something along those lines, you're helping set that animal back up for success so that that animal doesn't feel like it's getting failed or it's not a situation where that animal is going to get put down because a behavior wasn't disclosed or something along those lines. It's something that we're willing to assist, we're here to help, but there has to be open transparency about that situation.
And in life, there is no, I'm not going to participate. Like, this is a subject that affects everybody, and it falls on all of us. These animals didn't ask to be domesticated. We did that, and it kind of falls on us to take care of them as well, and look out for them.
Yep, and I mean, again, the surrendering is never an easy situation. Mm-hmm. People, like, I've always said, oh, I'm never going to surrender an animal, and I know lots of other people do, but situations happen. And things change. I've had to do it before, and it was not an easy situation. I was not happy to have to surrender my guinea pig. I had to rehome a cat at one point. It's not easy, and we understand that. But being open and transparent and talking and having those conversations helps set that animal up for success.
I think one thing to keep in mind oftentimes, and maybe this doesn't apply to everybody, but when you're feeling those feelings, put yourself in the person's shoes that you're going to be talking to. Put yourself in Madison's shoes. She's not doing this job to become a billionaire. She's doing it because she loves it. She's got a passion for it and everything. You're talking to somebody like that, chances are they're going to have an open mind. They're going to have an open heart and work with you. And maybe you end up working something out where you can actually keep the animal. You know, you never know until you find out.
Yeah.
Find out about that and many more things with our friends at the Humane Society. Madison, who is our pet of the week?
Our pet of the week this week is going to be Fruit Snack.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I already love Fruit Snack.
Well, I can tell you I named this one.
Okay, all right, good name.
I'm not going to lie. I was eating Fruit Snacks when the cat came in.
Perfect.
You know, it was kind of just one of those days.
Love it.
So good.
So Fruit Snack came into us as a stray a couple months back. Fruit Snack is a 12-year-old or older cat, based off of our assumptions. Fruit Snack has been with us for just a bit. She is kind of a little bit of a hot mess. Nothing that's super out of the ordinary. She does have hypothyroidism, so she is on a medication daily for that. She gets a pill twice a day for that to help with everything that she's got going on. With that, she's just a love. She kind of just wants to do her own thing. She sleeps in her bed. She's got a perfectly little miniature bed. Her little bed. She sleeps on that all day. She has been in a foster home with dogs and cats and really could give less of a crap about them. She's just like, give me my perch. I'm good. I'm sleeping here.
Yeah.
And other than that, she's just a typical little old lady. I love her. She's definitely got a lot of personality and spunk. She'll tell you when she doesn't want something going on. You'll know.
Yeah.
You'll know.
Yeah. The picture of her on the website, which you can look at yourself, swchs.com, she looks so sweet. She looks so happy and just a snuggler. Just a snuggler. When it comes to animals in this age range, taking them in is a blessing to the animal and yourself. I've never met somebody who hasn't taken one of these animals in and not loved their time with them and not appreciated their time. It hits differently.
Yep.
You know you have so much time with this animal. And maybe you got years. Maybe you got months. Who knows? Nobody does. Even when you grab a younger animal, you just don't know. But with something like this, it hits home a little bit more. And I think with human beings, we project oftentimes. You know, cats and dogs don't think and feel like we do, but we project that stuff a lot of the time. And I think that these kind of animals are perfect for young families. Mm-hmm. I think they're a really good lesson for kids and a really, really good thing for them. I also think that they're perfect for people that are retired and people that are older and stuff. They keep a very similar pace to you. Yep. And can work alongside you very well. They have a place in your home out there. Just got to find the right home.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Seniors will always have a soft spot in my heart. That's they're my cup of tea. Yeah. I have a senior at home. He's my soul dog, and I love him, but he's my soul dog.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, again, like, I adopted my senior kid when I was a young adult. So that's one of those things that it's also great home for a young adult. Just make sure that if it is something you're interested in, make sure you can financially afford it. That's the only thing I would have to put as a little bit of a damper. I don't regret adopting my senior. Mm-hmm. He's cost me an arm and a leg at this point, but I love him to death, and I wouldn't change it.
One of the things I've always appreciated, and you've kept this going, at our Humane Society, is it's not just get these animals out. No, it's get them to the right home.
Yep.
And being honest with people, like things like that. I think that goes a lot farther, and it gets a lot more animals adopted.
Yep.
I appreciate that out of you.
It's one of those things, too, that, again, a shelter environment compared to a home environment, we cannot guarantee every behavior. We can't guarantee everything about those animals, but it's one of those things that we tell you what we've seen in the shelter environment and how we can try to support this animal to the best ability of.
It's interesting. I think my mom said the same thing about me whenever I would go to people's houses. I'm pretty sure she said the same. Madison.
He's fine in our environment, but I don't know how he's going to do out elsewhere.
If people want to learn more about Fruit Snack and ways that we can help our Humane Society, we, of course, are always in need of, it's always cat season. We're always in, we have things in need over there. Like, what are some of the items that we could use over there?
Yeah, highest needs right now are paper towel, 30-gallon garbage bags, cat litter, and, oh goodness, I blanked. Laundry detergent. There you go.
Okay,
so that's definitely highest needs right now. I know we've got a lot of cat food that we're doing okay on. Obviously, that's going to go quick with the amount of cats we have currently, but we'll get there.
Make sure to reach out to our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society with any questions you have, or to find out more about some of the furry friends that they have over there, like Fruit Snack. Go ahead and check out Fruit Snack, our pet of the week, and plenty more at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Give more information in our good stories of the day as we wrap up the hour. Madison, you are one of our good stories of the day. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Be listening for that and more coming up here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Any lane there is a bar showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello.
Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. WFHR on your radio dial. Thanks for hanging out with us. Seth and James here with you. A gigantic, huge, big shout out to our friend Madison Rafter for joining us, Executive Director of Southwick County Humane Society. We'll get you some more information on the Humane Society before we wrap up today, but we appreciate Madison so much. Thanks a lot, Madison.
She is great.
She's awesome. She's a real deal, man.
Yep.
She really is. We appreciate you, Madison. Let's talk about another real deal. Mr. John Stewart is back, baby.
Wow.
I've been waiting since late last night to talk about this.
All right.
John Stewart is returning to The Daily Show to host Monday nights through this year's presidential election. He'll start February 12th.
All right.
As for the remainder of the week, it'll be hosted by a team of correspondents. An executive says, quote, John Stewart is the voice of our generation, and we are honored to have him return to help us all make sense of this insanity and division rolling through the country as we enter the election season. In our age of staggering hypocrisy and performative politics, John is the perfect person to puncture the empty rhetoric and provide much-needed clarity with his brilliant wit. John was the host for 16 years from 1999 to 2015 before Trevor Noah took over.
Hmm.
There's a lot of noteworthy stuff about this.
Right. I remember in its heyday, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, people would gripe about it. It's like, wow, John Stewart and blah, 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 blah. And they're not excuse, but their explanation. Well, we're a comedy show, you know?
Yeah.
We're a comedy show. It's not serious or anything. They have kind of just not – they've totally taken that off now. They're just saying, no, we're we're actually commenting on the news, and we're making we're actually doing this. So yeah, it's going to be funny, but they're not just saying it's just a comedy show. They're not doing that anymore. They're saying no, it's more than that.
John's original, when he took over The Daily Show, John's original intent is what ended up happening. And that doesn't happen very often,
no,
especially with something that you put on paper, and it sounds good on paper, but it's pretty hard to pull off.
Yeah.
And he did this, and in 2010 and 2011 was named the most trusted news source in America.
Remember that.
Time Magazine did a poll, and he was announced this. And he's still one of our most trusted news sources.
Wow.
He was doing his news was too big for Apple. Apple cut his show for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
But they had some corporate ties, and he was doing some stories on China and some other things. But they didn't like that, and his show didn't last on Apple. On Apple, it couldn't. He was too hot for Apple. John Stewart is one of the. One of the calms in the storms when it comes to this. For those that don't watch his show, and I watched every episode of The Daily Show, and I could tell you this emphatically, Jon Stewart holds Democrats and Republicans all equally accountable. Mm-hmm. I think his show gets looked at as, oh, he's against Republicans, or oh, he's against this. No. I've seen Jon, I've seen plenty of Republican candidates, Bob Dole and plenty of other people go on his show, and he treats them with respect just like he does any Democrat. And he also holds them accountable just like any Democrat. Mm-hmm. We need this in this day and age.
Yeah.
We need this in 2024. I just speaking for myself here, thank you, Mr. Stewart. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for doing this, because this is a headache, man. He doesn't want to do this. I mean, he loves the job. He loves what he does
absolutely.
For a living.
Yeah.
But do you want to come, like, okay, I haven't done this in forever. I'm going to jump in 2024 in this division.
It's been almost 10 years. Yeah, I mean.
Look at what we've got. We've got two plus 70-year-old possible candidates and a third outlier here in Nikki Haley. Mm-hmm. We've got a possible presidential candidate. First up, and I'm sorry if this sounds morbid or dark or anything like that to anybody, do we even know if these candidates will be alive when the voting process takes place?
Yeah, it's a
you can't guarantee me
no,
that.
No, you can't.
You can't. Like, this is what we got. We got one guy who might even be in prison when the actual election is taking place. Like, look at American politics right now. It's insane. This is a calm in the storm. This is a man who does not put his feelings into this. He puts facts and data. He does deep dives. He gives you the real. He doesn't got anybody in his pocket. Almost every news source nowadays has somebody in their pocket. It's part of the reason why I champion civic media, is we don't have people in our pocket. We don't have people telling our news people what to do or what to say or anything like that. We cover facts. We cover freedom. We cover democracy. And that's what Jon Stewart is doing. Mm-hmm. And Jon Stewart changed the game. Not only late night, he changed news.
Yeah.
Everything changed after Jon Stewart. Fox changed what they did. CNN changed what they did. CNBC changed what they did. It's a different world with him in it, with him in the news game.
Right. So we'll see. I mean, it's sometimes, you know, when you come back to and this is just pure, this is not about, you know, what he did or who he is. It's just, you know, sometimes when you come back, it's really hard to recapture whatever it was that he had before. He's not been completely out of it, you know, because like you said, he had the show on Apple. And so it's not like he's been completely nowhere in the last couple of years. So, but it'll be interesting to see, does Jon Stewart still have whatever it was, you know? I hope he does, because like you said, I think it's important. But, I'm curious to see how long the one day a week thing works.
Yeah.
I kind of get a feeling he might be creeping in for a couple of more. We'll see. But, you know.
Especially come October, November.
Yeah.
I got to think as we get closer and closer to the election. And I also think it's noteworthy. There are few people in this country who have done more for our veterans, our soldiers, who have done more for first responders than Jon Stewart.
Yeah, especially the 9/11 first responders. Everything, all that stuff. He has been an absolute advocate for them.
No, and this has been said by soldiers, not me. Mm-hmm. I'm repeating what other soldiers have said. Nobody has done more to bring attention to burn pits and the things that have gone on with those than Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be noted what he has done. This is a man who puts his name on things, puts his money where his mouth is, and stands on this stuff. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this and on a number of levels, not just politically. Jon Stewart's one of the best interviewers I've ever seen. And he has a lot of fun on those shows.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to enjoying late night TV again.
And he's funny.
Yeah,
he's a very funny guy.
He's a funny guy. Looking forward to it. A lot of us are looking forward to the AFC and NFC championship games this weekend. The Chiefs play the Ravens for the AFC championship. The game's in Baltimore, and it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Taylor Swift is going to be at the game. With that,
no.
You know, shocker. With that in mind, residents of a Brightview White Marsh assisted living facility made a TikTok to let Taylor know what she can do while she's in their city. The suggestions include Inner Harbor, the local aquarium, and Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
That's fun.
At the end of the video, the employee at the facility tells Taylor that she must visit Brightview White Marsh.
Aww.
Taylor is, I give her a lot of credit. She's very smart with this stuff. She pays a lot of attention to social media.
Oh, yes.
And has done a lot of things with fans over the years where she brings on a cancer patient on stage or she does something up privately. I don't think it'd be shocking if she showed up at this nursing home or at the very least, like sent them a shout out or something
like that. Yeah. Yeah. Cause boy, I'm trying to think logistically, you know, cause like her, you know, cause of the security and stuff she needs, it's like the president going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, you have to scout out the place. Oh, it's okay for Taylor to come in, you know, that kind of thing. Just because how famous she is. Yeah. But I hope she does. That'd be fun, kind of fun. And I love this, the people of Baltimore, at least this group, of being like, come on, Taylor. You know, they're not like, oh, you're a Chiefs fan. Right, they're like, no, you know, we got some great stuff in Baltimore, you know?
I like that they're doing that. I also think that a little bit has to do with the fact that they probably got the best team in football. This is crazy,
that's
man.
True.
This never happens. Baltimore's probably had the best team in football for the last 2-3 months, and nobody's talked about it.
I know.
They were trying to crown Philly. They were even trying to crown Dallas at one point. But Baltimore's just quietly kind of been this amazing force that's been going on.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
It's going to be interesting.
A chance, yep.
I want audience participation on this next one, 715-424-2600. Seth and I are going to go into a handful of TV shows that were supposed to be rebooted but got canceled or the idea didn't end up
happening. It's never worked out, right?
Yeah, planned TV show reboots that never worked out. We're going to go through this list. I want to hear from you all which one you would have liked to have seen made.
Oh, that's good.
What's one that you would? I want Seth's vote, too. You probably heard about the planned reboot of Lizzie McGuire with Hilary Duff that got canned before it even got started. Well, actually, Disney filmed 2 episodes of it and then decided, no, it's not going to happen.
And they saw the rushes and they're like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah, which has got to really hit
that's
the...
rough.
It's got to be rough. BuzzFeed put together a list of other planned TV show reboots that got canceled that you might not remember.
Okay.
So we're going to start at number 7, going way back to L.A. Law. They were going to do an L.A. Law revival with the return of Blair Underwood.
Really? Whoa.
I think that had been kind of cool, actually. Yeah. I remember as a little kid, my mom loved L.A. Law. And I don't remember the show, but I remember watching it with her.
You know, that's a show that could easily be rebooted and updated because it had a revolving cast. You know, it had people come and go and you know, it had like the core. But that's easy. That'd be, you know, and then do like cameos. Bring the old, you know, get your Corbin Burnson, you know, and all your guys in there. You know, and doing cameos and stuff like that. That would work. I think it'd be good. I never watched L.A. Law, but... I know it was a pretty popular show.
Good Corbin Burnson reference.
Oh,
nice.
Man. I love
nice.
Corbin Burnson.
He was so good on Psych. He was so good on Psych. I think it's my favorite character he played.
Oh, my God. For a lot of ways, he made that show.
He kind of did.
As good as the other
especially
two guys
the first season.
Yes, yeah.
A Charlie's Angels reboot called Angels 88, starring Tia Leone and Sandra Canning.
Huh?
Boy, those two
Tia
names.
Tia Leone, really?
Tia Leone, wow.
Wow.
I could see that.
I don't think it would have worked. In the 80s, it wouldn't have worked like 80s. It did in the 70s, man.
No. And I don't know if the reboot movies do as well without Drew Barrymore in that lead.
I think so.
I think that was an integral part of a great cast. Bill Murray as the voice guy or whatever was a great cast.
Yeah, Bosley.
Yeah. But I really think she was one that really brought that home, Drew Barrymore. This is the one that I'm picking. A reboot of Coach, where the return of Craig T. Nelson set 18 years after the original series.
Wow.
Now, at that point, they would have lost Jerry Van Dyke. I'm pretty sure he had passed away by that point. So that makes me like, not as excited. Because he was an integral part of that show for me.
He was so good.
It was so good to see him finally get his due, too. Like, he was always in the shadow of his brother. He never really got a chance to really shine.
Yep.
He did in that show. Dauber was great on that show. But without Jerry, like, that, it's, and I love Craig T. Nelson. Huge fan of him.
Excellent actor.
Not the same show.
No.
I don't think that show does nearly as well.
No.
His wife on that show was really good, too. Great cast.
Yeah,
Coach
that
was a great
very
show.
Good cast.
Great show. Great
and,
show.
And Shelley Fabre was on it. You know, yeah. She was good as Coach's girlfriend and everything. Yeah,
I mean. We actually, back in, this is, such, I should not admit this, but back in, when you had the NCAA football and you could create college football teams, I made the Minnesota State.
Yeah. As they could, which, by the way, it's hilarious that because of that show, what was and still is basically Mankato State in Minnesota changed their name to Minnesota State because of Coach.
Really?
Yes, they did.
Whoa.
Now it's called Minnesota State Mankato now. Yeah, but still, they were the first ones that did. Because there was no Minnesota State. That's why they created the team, because there wasn't a Minnesota State. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Man, that's pretty cool. A present day reboot of Clueless with Diana Davenport as the main character instead of Cher.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one they really tried for years to make that happen.
Man, they did. They were trying
a long time.
That was such a of its time.
Yep.
The movie was so of its time. It's kind of like a time capsule. It'd be hard to reboot that one.
Yeah, yeah. The one my sister was very excited about. I remember Jillian texting. Jillian, the mom of two young boys, two little monsters, who I love, but they are monsters.
They're little boys, yeah.
She has very little time, and we don't text nearly as much as we used to. But every once in a blue moon, I get a message from my sister about a movie or TV show that's being created or about to come up, or a trailer or something. Oh, we have to see this. We have to. Like years ago, she sends me a daily of a live-action Powerpuff Girls thing that they're scripting and they're looking to do. And they put a lot of time and money into this. They even got casting down. They even started to cast this a little bit. Just never happened.
Wow.
The pandemic happened, and it just never came to be.
How do you make a live action to that show?
I don't know, but I want
it's so
John,
cartoony.
I want John Hamm as the doctor. I want John Hamm as the dad. I think it'd be perfect. He even had the jaw.
The professor, yeah. He has the jaw. The professor.
Yeah.
By the way, my kids are watching that right now.
Awesome.
They're
watching
Powerpuff Girls
right
cartoon.
Now. Great cartoon.
One of the best of the 90s. Absolutely wonderful.
I am Mojo Jojo. You and I am Mojo Jojo. I am Mojo Jojo.
It was one of the most clever.
Yeah.
Of anime, because kids could watch it and have fun. It's got funny kid stuff in it, but it was they were doing some pointed stuff in there, which was really interesting. So
that one and Foster's Home for Imaginary Children, that animals that is in top five favorite kids shows of all time, and it wasn't even a kid show for me. It was like a kid show for my kids and stuff. But I love that show.
Dexter's Laboratory,
another good one. Nice. a reboot of Murder, She Wrote, starring Octavia Spencer.
That could totally work. Absolutely. That premise could be done by anybody. Yeah, totally would work.
And you put Octavia Spencer in anything.
Awesome.
She is
she's
versatile
fabulous.
As it gets.
Mm-hmm.
She's got such an expressive, beautiful face.
Mm-hmm.
I love her eyes. I love the way I could see her being very good at that.
Absolutely.
I'm a little like that's the one that shocks me the most that didn't happen.
Right. Because it seems like that would be like a no-brainer. You know, she's a well-known actor. She's very good, award-winning. You know, she's very famous as well. And that seemed like a home run, but something must have happened.
Yeah. Sometimes it's scheduling. Sometimes it's especially – so from what I was able to find, and there's not much information on this one, this came about at the time, right around the time that the Unsung Heroes movie, the movie with Octavia Spencer, in it.
Hidden Figures?
Yes, thank
that
you.
One?
Hidden
yep.
Figures,
yep.
Yes. That this was being talked about then, and she thinks, she'll do this. She doesn't sign on to do it, but agrees that she might do it, and then her star rises.
She blows
roof.
Up because of that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, then her schedule probably just went crazy.
Yeah. So I don't know that that's what happened, but reading between the lines, it seems like that's what happened with that one. Which one of these would you like to see, or what is one that you think would be good? What's a good idea? Go ahead and give it to us. Hollywood could use it.
they do not need any more encouragement to do reboots.
You're
sorry.
So right about this.
I'm sorry.
So right.
We can't.
No,
We cannot encourage Hollywood.
But we do encourage you to call up and let us know which one of these sound good, or if you have an idea out there, we'd love to hear from it. Call up 715-424-2600.
CPO Sharky.
Honorable mention, before Futurama and Family Guy, Fox was in talks with the Simpsons creator, Matt Groening, to create a prequel to The Simpsons of Homer and Marge.
Oh, really?
And they were all set to do this. They could not work out the details, and it never ended up happening. And Fox ended up actually turning that budget money into Family Guy.
Really?
So a lot of people can thank Matt Groening for Family Guy in that respect, too. Now, what they did was, though, they loved the idea so much that, we'll just do a flashback. And we'll do a flashback. And after 34 seasons, almost every season, they have a flashback episode of Homer and Marge when they were teenagers or kids or something like that.
God, the continuity must be a mess now of The Simpsons.
It makes no sense. As somebody who has watched every single episode multiple times, I can promise you, nothing adds up.
It's a cartoon show. Let's relax, everybody. Yeah, it's just a cartoon
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Seth is mainly speaking to me on that one. I need to let go.
Just relax, man. Just repeat to yourself, it's just a show. You really should just relax.
It's just a show. You should just relax.
Really, just right.
You know, it seems really fitting. That should be in a theme song.
That should be in a theme song somewhere.
We'll be back with more on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Call up and join the conversation. Got a couple of roving questions out there for you. It's the worst movie you saw in the theater. Mm-hmm. You know, what's a reboot that you'd like to see or something like that?
Yeah.
Go ahead and let us know. 715-424-2600. If you're listening to us on the Civic Media app, thank you. You're just a touch or two away from joining the conversation, which could come really in handy tomorrow with our Culver Star of the Day.
Oh, yes. Get ready, everyone.
We got a great one coming up. And I got one that I want to get to, and then after that, over the next couple of weeks, we're gonna do a fun thing where we're gonna have shows, and then the spinoff from the show.
Oh, put a little challenge out there. I like that.
We're gonna have some fun with that one.
Yeah,
be listening for Culver's Star of the Day, and get yourself some free Culver's every Friday, right after our birthday and anniversary club. Right now, we're gonna go from Malaysia to Wyoming. And they connect.
Somehow they connect.
In my weird brain, they connected. I came across this story this weekend that I thought was kind of interesting. Custodians of an ancient Hindu religious site in Malaysia are planning to install an escalator as an alternative for those visitors either unable or unwilling to climb 272 steps leading to its temple and cave shrines.
That's a lot of steps. Wow.
The Batu Caves are one of Malaysia's most popular tourist attractions. They serve as a religious site for Hindu worshippers and are a focal point of annual festivals every year. Lots of people visit. Millions come. Over 400 million people. A couple hundred million people go there every year.
Wow, that's a lot. Wow.
The actual place itself, the site is thought to be around 400 million years old, and it is easily recognizable by its towering flight of rainbow stairs, which have made it popular with Instagrammers.
Of course.
Right.
It's colorful. It makes a great picture. And it does make a great picture. I mean, those are fabulous.
It's
wow.
just beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, even just looking at the pictures of it, let alone I can't imagine actually walking
That's amazing.
Now, this is huge for them because they make a lot of money off of these tourist dollars.
For donations and stuff. Yep.
Yeah. And so, while, you know, many of us will probably take shots at the Instagrammers for, you know, that kind of stuff and everything, you also have to give a little bit of credit because they're spending money and that's helping the people over there.
Exactly.
So, you know, to make this more accessible, to make it more, maybe even more people use it, they've thought about installing this escalator. Mm-hmm. Construction of the escalator, as well as a new multi-purpose hall, would begin after this year's Thesposmium Festival, which falls on January 25th.
Okay.
The hall estimated to cost around $35 million or $7.5 million in American dollars.
Okay.
This is said. Now, also along with this, however, the rejuvenation has also countered controversy with the Malaysian Heritage Board, say the steps were painted before the makeover was approved.
Ooh.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, and there's a lot to be said there. We'll follow up on this story as things develop.
Right.
But I come across this, and I think it's really cool and interesting.
Yeah.
It's something that I think even the question we can face ourselves here in America of, well, we have these great sites. What if we want to incorporate this into a modern tech into it? And how do we feel about that? Mm. How do we? People have talked for many years, the Liberty Bell, should it be fixed? Well, no, of course not. That's history right there.
Right, right.
But there are actually groups of organizations out in Philadelphia that think that it should be actually fixed.
Whole, yeah, you know, right.
And stuff like that. So it's something that we face here in this country a little yep. bit, not as much maybe.
Well, and you know, it's different depending on what it is. My folks down in South Carolina are involved in a project to rebuild a house, a very historic house of a prominent black family in Edisto Island. And because it was a shambles. It was a complete, you know, a ruin. Mm. And so they've had to put a lot of, you know, and had to be very careful about how you do it without, you know, collapsing the structure and that kind of stuff. But in that sense, you know, that's a good thing because yeah. now it's living history. You know, mm-hmm. people can find out about this family and all this really a fascinating story about, you know, race in South Carolina and all yeah. these kind of things. But you know, it depends. Like, do you fix the Liberty Bell? Well, I mean, it's iconic. You know, it's yeah. it's got the crack in it, and mm-hmm. people are used to that, and that's fine. They can keep it that way if they, you know, if that's what's decided. But there are other times when, you know, putting something, you know, putting work into something and making it better, not leaving it the way it is actually the right way to go.
Yeah. So I go down a rabbit hole with this, and I'm curious to know, you know, I've never, I come from a construction family. Mm-hmm. I like construction. I'm like, well, what is the work that it takes to put an escalator in? And as I'm typing into my search bar, escalators immediately popping up, only two escalators in Wyoming. Oh, what's this? Oh, I have to go down this rabbit
yes.
hole. I have to check this
or
out.
Or up this rabbit hole.
Yeah, nicely done. And I'm like, wait a minute. This can't be true. It is. There are only two escalators in the whole state of Wyoming, and they are very proud of this. They are extremely proud of this. When it comes to interesting facts about the 50 states, one of Wyoming's default trivia tidbits is that throughout the cowboy state, there are only two sets of escalators. The cowboy state has as many U.S. senators and national parks as it has escalators. There is one more Democrat in the Wyoming House and 255 times as many registered electric vehicles in Wyoming as there are escalators. There used to be three sets of escalators in the Cheyenne JCPenney building, but it was lost when JCPenney moved into Frontier Mall and the escalators were removed when older buildings renovated. So why does Wyoming only have two escalators? Well, basically, I can save you a lot of time going through the whole article and finding multiple articles because this is how they want it.
Wow.
They're proud of this. Wyoming's extent escalators in Casper as the main branch of Hilltop National Bank and downtown branch of First Internet Bank. They work in both directions, offering traditional ascent. A full tour of Wyoming's escalators include rides up and down and travel time.
Okay, now that's taking it too far. Yeah, but anyway, yeah.
They say that this is the way it is because they like it this way because in part because Wyoming is a open state. It's not
right.
heavily populated. Yep. It's very open, and they like it that way. If you move to Wyoming, you're not moving there because you love the hustle and bustle of city life. You like all of these things.
Right.
And Wyoming wants to keep their state that way.
Yes.
So they're not going to have a lot of escalators. They actually, if you read this and it deters you from moving to Wyoming, that's okay with them.
Yeah,
they want that.
That's kind of weird. Although, I guess we could put a damper on a little bit because I know that they have to have elevators because of the ADA. You're required to have ways for disabled people to get up and down. So maybe that. So they only got two escalators, but I'm sure they've got plenty of elevators. So.
Right. Yeah.
Let's keep it in perspective.
Ronald Yount. Guys, very close to Robin Yount. Right?
It's very close.
I had to
yeah.
say it very specifically. he's a project manager of Plan One Architects in Cody, in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. He pointed to a simple reason why escalators are so rare in Wyoming. It boils down to one of the state's proudest points, its low population, and conversely, not a need to cram a lot of stuff into public places.
Jeez.
Just
that's like a weird way to show that, you know. It's just kind of odd to me. Like, just because we only have two escalators, ha. Okay,
right? Yeah. We showed
right.
you.
Yeah,
you did. Nice work, Wyoming. I guess.
How many? I think maybe it's more how many guns each Wyoming person owns. Maybe that has something to do with it.
I love the idea of I'd like to know if this really works too.
I that's yeah. Have they done a study on this?
Like, has it actually helped keep the population down?
What? And, they've only got two escalators? Well, I'm not moving there.
Yeah.
Man, more escalators than two. You know, three would be fine, but two? No.
I'd love to look a little bit more into this. I'd like to find out a little bit more about it. We will take a quick time out. But if anybody out there has ever visited Wyoming or been on one of those escalators, you have to call us up.
You
and
do.
Let us know.
And the fact that they treat it like a tourist thing, though,
yeah.
that kind of defeats it, too.
It does a little bit.
What are you doing in Wyoming, man? Yeah. Wyoming people.
We'll uncover more as we follow along this topic. We'll be back with more on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, taking to the top of the hour. Shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. We got that ain't right story we're going to get to before we touch on some local good stuff and get into our schedule here. And this That Ain't Right story, as I've said before, I'm kind of trying to do some things a little bit different with this story. Ideally, you should be able to count on one hand the types of things you flush down a toilet.
Oh, dear.
But some people sometimes use it as a garbage can or accidentally drop something in there. A drainage pipe company surveyed plumbers and asked them to reveal the strangest things they've caught being flushed down the toilet. We are going to go ahead and go through this list. It is not in any particular order.
No.
Legos are on the list.
No shocker there.
Yeah. Rubber ducks.
Huh?
Like rubber ducky. You're
yeah.
the one.
Wow.
Bath time. So much fun.
Apparently, I'm wondering where they're taking their baths.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
The rubber ducky should not be leaving the bathtub.
No, it should not be.
No. Socks.
What?
Oh, that I.
No.
I,
socks.
Yeah, that seems far-fetched. That seems weird. And at the same time, it feels like
something
that could happen.
I'm sure it's happened. Yes, I'm sure it's happened.
That one actually feels like the most real, one of the more realistic ones.
This is like, you know, when your two-year-old discovers you can flush things down the toilet, just grabs whatever they can find. Maybe that. I'm guessing that's a lot of this. Yeah.
My son, he just learns to start going on his own and everything, man. And I know he goes. I see him go up there, and you know, you keep an eye out.
Yes.
If they need you, and I'm listening. I'm like, okay, JC hasn't showed up. It's been about 5 minutes.
There's something wrong here.
Yeah. I go up there to check in. He's got the toilet paper roll, and he's just standing there, just rolling it, just hitting it, just roll, just watching it, just completely unroll.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, oh man. Doing turkey bones and Brussels sprouts.
I know what it is. I know why the Brussels sprouts are there. We have a kid. It's like, gotta go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom? In their napkin, the Brussels sprouts are right there. Got to get rid of them somehow. Get rid of the evidence, you know.
Just randomly asking, not for any personal reasons whatsoever. If an adult does that, is that even worse? Just curious.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Just say you don't like Brussels sprouts. You don't need to try to hide it. No, I got to go to the bathroom. Excuse me. Let me take this napkin with me. That's not at all weird.
I could see, like, I wouldn't have done this as a kid, but as an adult, I could see doing it just for the acting, like, just so that I could see if I could do it as an actor and not eat the Brussels sprouts.
I can see you. I am going to the bathroom now.
Way overdoing it.
Yes, like, way overdoing it. Yeah.
Bananas. Whoa. What is going on here?
No.
Were they peeled? Were they?
oh, I don't need to know any of the details. No, just weird.
Moving on. Let's see here. A two-man tent and sleeping bag.
What?
It's probably safe to assume that this didn't make it too far, but the plumber had to come out and clear it. One plumber said, I've seen... Okay, we got to stop on that one. How
does that... What? Whoa.
What scenario happens where you're
attempting to do this? Okay, I know a two-man tent isn't very big. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a pup tent kind of thing. But still, even if you roll it up, you know, and as tight as you can, dude, that's not going to... How does that fit into a toilet?
I had a friend in college. She really liked this guy, and she found out that he delivered pizzas. And we weren't hungry, and she was a vegetarian. She didn't even eat cheese. She was a vegan. She didn't even eat cheese. But we ordered a pizza just so this guy would come over and everything. He didn't. It wasn't him. It was a different person.
Of course.
But that's the only thing I can think of here, is that you're like in love with some plumber, and you got no reason to get the plumber over to your house.
I don't. Tent in here.
It's as good of a reason as any.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. good a reason as any, man, or any explanation for that matter. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There you go. I've seen a quote from this one plumber. I've seen all sorts of weird and wonderful things blocking pipes. Wonderful. Everything from chopsticks to lettuce. A head of lettuce.
A head of lettuce. Okay, that just like a large Brussels sprout. Yeah, yeah. This whole head of lettuce. Yeah, yeah.
Quote, it's really important to think twice before flushing something because it can cause long-term damage to plumbing systems.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. Although, I secretly, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting a payday now. Yeah, right, yeah. I like that. The weird and wonderful. I like the fact that he put wonderful in there. There is a plumber who enjoys his work.
Yeah.
He enjoys his work. That's the plumber I want, man.
Absolutely. Well, this is a That Ain't Right story. A good story of the day is all of our plumbers. Thank you, plumbers.
Plumbers are awesome. We love you all.
We appreciate all plumbers out there. Thank you so much for the work that you do.
Yes, indeed.
Getting a true pellet cleanser. We kick off our great Midday Magazine today at 3 o'clock with our wonderful friends, Stephen and Katrina Hittner from Family Natural Foods, two of our favorite people to talk to.
Awesome.
We'll catch up with how things are over at the shop. And plenty more with our friends from Family Natural Foods. And in part two, Matt Lippert, Wood County Agricultural Agent. Matt going to talk with us. We got a lot of things to talk about with Matt. Looking forward to it. I wonder
if he knows anything about like weather like this does to the spring. You know, when everything melts and we, you know, the nutrients go into the ground for the farmers. I wonder if there's anything about that he knows.
I think that might come up with Matt.
Yeah, that's cool.
Also want to talk to him about the No Joke Dairy in Stratford. They're going to be hosting Farm Days. Family Farm Days. They're going to host this in 2026. I want to talk to him about that.
I was going to say the No Joke Dairy. They're going to be hosting a comedy contest.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
I like that. That'd be fun. And we got good stuff on our radio dial tonight at 6:05, the Greg Gard Show. Join us for that. And at 7:05, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Mm-hmm. Back-to-back Wisconsin Badger head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Find out a little bit more about your teams that way.
Yes, indeed.
Another side note, keep in mind that tomorrow on WFHR, we'll have Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers hosting Michigan State. And on our sister station, WIRI, at 6:59, River Kings hockey hosting the Minnesota Mullets. Mark and Seth going to cover that one for us.
I think Mark, I believe, I'm not sure who I have on Friday, but I do know on Saturday at the River Kings, our own Mike Comer will be calling the game.
Nice.
That's really cool.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate that. That's awesome. Follow your River Kings. Support them as they build hockey up and down the river. Mm-hmm. It's go time for our River Kings. Let's fill up the center and show them what home ice advantage is.
Yeah.
Seth, we got the Winter Farmers Market back.
It's back, everybody. It's every Saturday from 9 to 1 over at the Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South. Just go down into the basement. There's an elevator there, so it's all accessible for everyone. There's going to be lots of cool, there's lots of food now going to be in there. There's lots of great things. Go check out their Facebook page to see who will be there this week. The last couple of weeks have been great. We've had a lot of good people, a lot of people coming in to see what's going on. It's going until May 18th, everyone, except for March 30th. But every Saturday, 9 to 1, the market at the Moravian. Go check it out.
Also going on tonight at McMillan Memorial Library, reconnecting with our foods and seeding the future with Jessica Greendeer.
Mm.
It'll take place from 6:30 to 7:30 at their Fine Arts Center. Jessica will talk about how she came to seed keeping, organic farming, and earth regeneration, along with what exactly seed keeping and seed remigration is.
That's cool.
She will also discuss how seeds carry history and culture.
That's a fascinating subject. Wow.
Check that out and plenty more over at our local hub, our McMillan Memorial Library. Find out more at mcmillanlibrary.org.
Library's awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We got one of the best.
There. Yes, we do. And check out Fruit Snack, our pet of the week from our friends at the Southland County Humane Society. Reach out to them and find out any ways you can help out them doing the integral work that they do over there. Find out about Fruit Snack and plenty of other great furry friends over there at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com.
I love the fact that you just can name it whatever you're doing at the moment.
Yes.
That's good. Madison, thank you for telling us that. Now, I'm not going to get a pet, but if I did, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
And that's great. You have
my dog cleaning my glasses. Have you met cleaning my glasses?
Have you met Radio Show? Great show today, brother. Nice
it was
work.
Fun.
We'll be back with more fun tomorrow right here on, how perfect is this? Birthday Girl, you take it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.